Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
We're living in kind of an upside down, topsy turvy world in a lot of spaces. We both played sports in high school and then beyond a little bit. Your family, you know, my family, a lot of coaches in these sports. And something that was kind of always traditional was if you were a boy, you competed against boys. If you're a girl, you competed against girls. And you might even harass each other a little bit, you know, but you know, between and you know, this kind of thing. And some compete and that, but we've never seen in our history the things we're dealing with today, where people are saying, hey, that looks equal and fair, but then you actually look at it and everything in your senses says, that does not look like a fair MMA bout. That does not look like a fair, you know, battle. And I can't hardly make sense of it, but we have a guest today that can, especially from the legal front, from Telios Law Firm. We have Teresa Sidebotham.
Thank you.
Welcome, hey, Teresa. Welcome. We're really excited to have you on the show today.
So help me a little bit. How from a legal standpoint, is this argued and is it presented as, hey, this is good for the individuals, this is good for society, the changes that have happened in competitive sports and Title IX specifically, when it was kind of designed to protect women, it seems like it's doing everything but.
It was originally designed to protect women. You know, back in the day, girls' sports programs did not have access to the funding. You know, they were just a tiny splinter. And Title IX said, no, if you're going to fund the boys' sports, you've got to fund the girls' sports. Girls have to have a chance. And honestly, that revolutionized girls and women's sports from, you know, elementary school all the way up through college. Well, now it's shifting the other way because the rights that are really being prioritized are the rights of transgender individuals who are, you know, switching their gender identity and wanting to play on the other sports teams. So maybe not so much an issue if a biological woman wants to play on the guys' team. You know, that's happened off and on through history and doesn't happen that often, frankly. But when somebody who's constructed like a biological male, but saying that he's a she and wants to play on the women's team, I mean, let's face it, we all know the women don't have a chance at that point. Men are just stronger.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that happen, you know, and, you know, whether it be swimming or boxing or MMA fighting or any of those things, you know, we're going to lose these sports if this continues as far as women are concerned.
And women are also getting injured because, you know, not only are they not able to win, but because men are faster, stronger, play harder, you know, the girls are going to get hurt. And some coaches are pulling their teams out because they said they're not going to put their girls at risk.
So what are the options right now, Teresa? What can schools do? How does the law on their side? What can they do during this time?
Well, the Department of Education under the Biden administration has obviously pushed much, much harder in this direction. They have a proposed rule out now which claims to preserve everybody's rights, and in a sense it doesn't make it an absolute right for transgender individuals to play on the other team, but it does push towards that. And it makes it very complicated so that even if the school is trying to work through it, they might lose the analysis. So unfortunately, I think schools are going to have to work with their legal counsel to figure out, you know, are there some teams that men can't be on to play on women's teams? You know, it's maybe different in elementary school versus high school or college or how competitive. So it's really a bit of a confusing mess. And then for Christian schools in particular, there should be some protections against having to implement Title IX. There always have been, you know, religious exceptions. There's a push against that as well. So again, they may need to reach out to legal counsel to try to defend their religious position on that.
And then tell us what you do at Telios Law, because you are helping schools to defend that. Is that correct?
We are helping some schools with that. I think right now, primarily higher education. But at Telios Law, we work mostly with ministries and, you know, a lot of, around a lot of these issues, like their religious freedoms, personnel issues, misconduct investigations, and of course, Title IX involves some of those as well. And that's another whole ball game, the Title IX sexual harassment investigations. But we do help ministries and schools work through this. And then for individuals, there's some other options as well.
So if there's a, let's say, a school in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, let's say, that's like, hey, we need to fight this fight. Is it somebody, could you work with them in that area, or do you only work with people in the Colorado area?
We do work with ministries in other states, and on particular portions of it that we feel we can't work on, we'll help refer them to another like-minded attorney who can help them.
Okay. Are there any wins going on right now for, let's say, girls in sports, women's sports, and what's going on right now with the transgender movement? Are there any wins?
Well, one win I think that's happening culturally is that parents and other people are finally waking up to acknowledge that this is a problem. So unfortunately, everyone sat back for quite a long time and just let it roll. And I think that women, maybe who are feminist and parents of daughters, have finally realized, you know, wait a minute, this is going to destroy women's sports. Mm-hmm. And so there have been some courageous women who've spoken out, like, you know, Ms. Rowling from the Harry Potter series. Yeah. Yeah. And parents are starting to step up. Parents are going to school boards. And there's also, you know, starting to be raised concerns about, you know, locker room issues and sexual assault and that kind of thing. So there's finally beginning to be some pushback, and I think parents are going to need to do that in order for this to their daughters to be protected.
Just to the untrained observer like myself, you know, you kind of look at the headlines. I can't think of any cases where there's a lot of women transitioning to men and have really cashed in. They're getting sponsorship endorsements. They're getting, you know, celebrity status. They're really winning. It seems to be very one-sided. You know, it seems to be mostly men moving into women's categories and winning beauty pageants, getting endorsements from feminine product companies, getting endorsements from beer companies, getting, you know,
winning sports,
you know, winning in academic, I mean, winning in all athletic endeavors, you know, without, you know, anything. Like, it seems very one-sided, where some, like, you know, you mentioned feminists would be, I think, rushing in to help rescue women's activities. I mean, all of them, from beauty pageants to athletic competitions.
You would think so. And I think maybe some of the feminists are starting to realize it. But, you know, you talk to most women who've lived a long time, or they played sports or they haven't played sports. There's definitely issues and difficulties around being a woman. And women have always had to work to succeed. So to have biological men just come in and kind of sweep the honors, that can't make sense to a lot of women. And I'm glad if women are starting to step up and say so. You know, in a way you could say it's a little bit the equivalent of being in blackface. You know, you put on makeup and you feel like a girl, but I'm sorry, you're not like I am. You don't have that body.
Right.
You're just like you can't make up your face with brown all over it and say you're a black person.
Yep. That is a really great point.
Because you don't experience that same path. Because there's a lot more that goes in. You know, I guess I have a wife, I have a daughter, you know, and I look at like the complications, the things that are all involved there. There's a lot more involved in being a woman than just putting on some lipstick and a dress. It encompasses a lot more of your life than that. And every woman is much more than what she wears or what she appears, you know, and for a man to come in and say, hey, I've come under the umbrella of everything that says you're you, just because I can appear to be you. I can appear to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, but doesn't mean I go through everything that they do. I could even buy a uniform and a jersey. Doesn't make me a Kansas City Chief, where I've gone through the pain and the practices and the OTAs and the surgeries and everything that's involved and the concussions and all the downsides and negative. Like, there's a lot that would go into that. So same thing with being a woman and the things that you go through. Looking over your shoulder, leaving a restaurant by yourself at night, and the vulnerabilities, and you know, everything that's involved in paying the price tag to say, hey, I am a woman. These are the things I've gone through. It's a lot more than just appearance.
It is. And I do want to say that, you know, young people, if they're transitioning, they're usually really in a lot of pain. You know, they're hurting, they're going through struggles. And we want to be compassionate, you know, try to understand the struggles that they're going through. And I don't want to send the message that, you know, we just blow them off and we don't care.
Sure.
At the same time, I think we're going to have to defend a space for biological girls to feel safe in their locker rooms, mm-hmm. have a chance to succeed on their sports teams, you know, get respect for who they are. There need to be some compromises and some boundaries that protect girls, because mm-hmm. girls often don't get protected very well in this life.
It's very true. If there are parents that are watching this and they're dealing with this in their own state, whether it be, say, Oklahoma or Rhode Island, what are some different things they can do? I don't think that's something that you do at your law firm, but who could you recommend that they could actually talk to?
So if they need legal help, some of the public interest firms, you're thinking of Pacific Justice Institute, Alliance Defending Freedom. I think Beckett Fund focuses on religious freedoms, but if it went that direction, you know, Thomas More Society, Liberty Council, there's a number of them. They're doing some great work. But just on a sheer practical level, you know, talking to your school, talking to your school board, putting pressure on, you know, parents abdicated for too long. Mm-hmm. And on a local government level, there is a lot that you can do practically to say, you know, we understand that kids going through struggles need to be treated compassionately, but it doesn't mean that you can get away with not protecting our daughters too.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
And our sons, of course.
Yes. That's a great point.
Well, 'cause I think the world is better served if women do get to participate. Mm-hmm. And if they're active in this, if we create a place where they're like, you know, hey, what's the use? Mm-hmm. Why would I even mess with that? Yeah. Why would I train hard for something that's going to be taken away from me? I don't think that makes a better world. It doesn't make better mothers. It doesn't make a better planet. It doesn't make better teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, any of these activities, if we eliminate those things, you know, from us, any more than like, I benefited from playing sports. I'm just never a professional. It's like I went on, you know, mm-hmm. but those struggles and the coaching all played a big role mm-hmm. in how I live my life. I think if we endanger that for women, it's a detriment to everyone.
Yeah, I think of a, you know, young woman who is a friend of one of my sons. She's actually a professional athlete now. He's not. They played soccer at the same age, but the boys were much stronger and more powerful. The girls were beautiful and graceful. It was just a different game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the rare occasions when they'd work out together, you'd just be kind of shaking their heads because it was not the same game.
No, not at all. I agree. So before I let you go, let's talk about your website again, Telios Law, so TELIOSlaw.com. When you go there, there's a couple of things I wanted to highlight. If you scroll down on this page, you're going to come to Telios Tips. There's, you can sign up for that. What will they find when they get that? Are they going to receive email?
Yeah, it's an email about once a month. One is directed more towards ministries. One is directed more towards businesses. But that gives legal updates. We cover child protection, sexual harassment, religious freedoms, a lot of different issues, and some great free resources there.
Okay, great. And then the other tab I wanted to highlight was the Telios Teaching. So tell us about that.
So Telios Teaches is an online subscription-based training for ministries in the whole HR realm. So, you know, child protection, sexual harassment, different types of discrimination, but it's all from a scriptural basis. So what does God have to say about these issues and how people should be treating each other and caring for each other, as well as giving the legal background? So, you know, it's a whole mix there.
That is great. I love that you're offering these resources.
You know, too much attention is given to the I'd say like to the negative side mm-hmm. of this. It's encouraging to hear that, hey, there are law firms out there. There are people that are standing up and speaking up and showing up on behalf of the most vulnerable in these certain circumstances. So I'm very happy about that.
Well, and thank you for what you're doing too. It's important.
Have a great day, Teresa. Thanks again.
To defend democracy.
From misinformation poses a threat to our nation's health.
Climate change is an emergency.
Democratic socialism.
Codify everyone's right to choose.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
You know the thing.
We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
God actually spoke to me. He spoke about sacredness. He said to me, Kim, what I place in many, many people is sacred. And if anybody touches what is sacred to me, then it is the end for them. So what I've done in the United States of America is sacred. And there are people on every side that are trying to destroy what I deem sacred. And it's not going to happen.
This is the definition of criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. This is evidence.
Because I have upheld this country to spread a light to the rest of the world. When you choose to go against the sacred thing that God put into the very heart and the soil of this nation, this was sacred to God.
This Reawakened Tour is literally what it means. It has reawakened the American heart.
USA! USA!
Hello, Flyover family. Join me every Wednesday for the Prophetic Report at 11:11 Central. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on the Flyover app. We have such an incredible time of hearing from all of these different prophetic voices like Robin Bullock, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Amanda Grace, and Hank Kuhneman. Every week, it's either 5 or 6 different prophets that are speaking, and what's interesting is God is speaking through them, and all of these voices come together like puzzle pieces. It is so exciting to hear what the Lord is saying. We're hearing from medical. We're hearing from military intelligence. We're hearing from the financial world. We're hearing from mainstream media. But the most important is, what is God saying? He has not fallen off the throne. He's not nervous. He's not chewing his nails. He is in control. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. What a great time to be alive. And I'm so excited for you to join me every Wednesday at 11:11.
Have you ever wondered about ancient civilizations or the moon landing, chemtrails, the Nephilim, demons? Those are all things that fascinate me. Decided to use our platform of the Flyover Conservative podcast and create a new show called Conspiracy Conversations. Every Saturday morning, we get together with some of the brightest minds in the world that have spent thousands of hours on a topic, churning through the research, looking at things, they've traveled, they've been to the locations, they're looking for the truth because they're as curious as you and I are about what's true. What is really true about our past, where we came from, where we are, and where we're going? We don't bring on guests to iron out their wrinkles and find out the things that we disagree on, no more than I go to the grocery store and try to put everything in the whole store in my cart. I just try to walk out with better ideas than I had when I walked in. If you got something inside you that's like, what about that? I don't even know if I agree. but I would like to hear them out. If you have an open mind and a curious heart, we've got a show for you every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, conspiracyconversations.com.
For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.